Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday and where the fuck we are today?
Well, yesterday we read chapter 46 of Jeremiah.
Sure as fuck did.
And in that chapter, Jeremiah or God or somebody, it sounds less like Jeremiah now because it's almost like Baruch's telling us. I don't know. It's just a weird way they're mentioning it. Mm-hmm. But basically, God was saying Egypt's going to get fucked.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as much as he said that, it never actually fully happened in our research that we kind of did.
Right.
And so God was wrong.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Egypt is still here today.
Egypt did get attacked. And yes, Egypt did lose some battles. But Egypt was never fully invaded and taken over.
Right.
And so God was wrong.
Egypt is still Egypt.
In fact. Mm-hmm. The Israelites flourished in Egypt.
They did.
After they were supposed to have been destroyed.
Exactly.
So I think something went haywire there with the whole God idea.
I think that Babylon was looking so hot at the moment that they were like, this is our it girl. You know what I'm saying? They were like, oh, damn.
This we can is totally the make this prophecy work. See?
Yeah, it's obvious.
They're going to win. They're totally going to win.
It's so obvious what's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, by all rights, it could very well have happened that way. Babylon was huge for a minute.
Right.
But they didn't stay.
They didn't. Yeah. It didn't work out.
I mean, we don't talk about a current day Babylon, but we sure as fuck talk about a modern day Egypt.
Yeah. We sure do. So anyway. There wasn't really much to say about that. Just basically God was like, Egypt is going to get screwed over.
Yep.
That's pretty much all there was.
Yep.
So that was Jeremiah chapter 46.
Yes.
Which means that today we're getting into
Jeremiah chapter 47.
All right. Let's do this.
Okie dokie.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, we are hopping into Jeremiah chapter 47.
Okay.
And just a quick note before I get into the chapter itself, let us not forget that this is part of a series of oracles against foreign nations.
Right.
And this will cover chapters 46 through 51,
mm-hmm.
which is the rest of the book of Jeremiah.
Oh, it is? So 51 mm-hmm. is the last chapter?
I believe so, yeah. Oh. It's either 51 or 52, but I'm pretty sure it's 51.
Okay, all right.
So the rest of these, every chapter is going to be a different nation that God is like, and I'm going to get you and you and you.
Okay.
And moreover, these are not in chronological order.
Right.
These are in geographic order, like starting from like nearest to, you know, moving up the map.
I mean, there was like no point throughout Jeremiah that we were in chronological order to begin with. So we might as well just stick with that theme.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So just want to put that out there before we start. And today we're getting into the Philistines.
Okay. Yeah.
So here we go. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines.
Did we even discuss the Philistines at all throughout the Bible, like Jeremiah yet?
I'm holding up a finger that says, one moment, please.
Okay. Yeah.
Before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. What?
Okay. What?
Yeah.
Wait. What the?
Okay. So
what is happening?
Let me read this sentence again.
Okay. Yeah.
The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. So
we have not discussed this.
Let me go to my notes.
Okay.
And let us read about the very first verse of this chapter, because what the ever loving fuck?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, there is no actual historical evidence, so I'm not saying it didn't happen, but we don't have evidence of any Egyptian king smiting Gaza.
Okay.
Okay? All so, right. Don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
I think
about.
They would call it attacking, not smiting. Smiting is more of a God thing.
Right, exactly.
I'm just saying.
It was no doubt hit by some of them, like, sure. Obviously, because...
I mean, there was all kinds of shit going on.
Yeah.
Like, this was like, the Israelites were right in the middle of all kinds of shit happening.
Right. And so. And Gaza was getting hit every which way, too.
Sure.
It was right there in the
middle. But
mix.
My understanding is what we've read so far is it feels like, you know, the Israelites are almost kind of friendly with Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of...
They're frenemies.
They're, right. Yeah. But so this is kind of confusing to me.
Right.
In this time and place.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. So, again, this may have happened at some point, but it was like small beans, never recorded, and when or by whom does not appear in any written history.
Interesting.
So, we're like, okay, I believe you. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
If this attack occurred, it would likely have been when Necho was marching to Haran in 609 BCE.
Okay, sure.
Because Necho's campaign at that point had a twofold purpose. It was, one, to prop up a tottering Assyria against a powerful Babylon, thus maintaining the balance of power, which, okay,
sure,
that tracks.
Sure.
And two, to extend his own empire in a time of international chaos when everything was adrift, like we just said. Everybody.
So there was two empires fighting over the middle ground, essentially.
Yes.
And Israel happened to be in that middle ground.
Yes. And so Gaza might have got struck by Egypt at some point. Who fucking knows?
Right. But to say it got struck also might be a little bit of a misnomer, because it felt like they were reaching out to Egypt for help.
Yes.
Against the Babylonians. So.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, it feels like the struck bit might mm-hmm. be a little bit strongly worded.
Yes. Totally agree with you. So. There's that.
Yeah.
Don't know. Verse one, what the fuck
and are we you have talking no about? Historical context to relate this to. So, like, we can't speak any more about that other than it says it in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that lots of little cities got marched over.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Whatever. And whoever was running that little city in that minute may have been, much like Jeremiah, on the side of Babylon, fearing that Babylon was the larger power. And so then maybe Egypt, in marching through at one point, was like, oh, you like them? Okay, well, fuck you for a minute.
Well, my understanding, so Gaza, as it sits now, is essentially the part of Israel that is like bordered up against Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be like, if they took it over, if they struck them, this mm-hmm. would be basically them taking over an area that would buffer. Like, they can set up defenses before,
yes.
you know, the
main force. It would have been strategic.
Strategic, so that the Babylonians hit this wall of their troops before it hits their actual country.
Exactly.
So I could see that being the case.
Like, using that as a military fortification.
Right.
And less as a, you know, we struck this city today.
Right. Yeah. Especially if they were frenemies. Like, they're going to be like, mm-hmm. okay, you guys can obviously beat us. So I guess, yeah, just come on in.
Like, you guys are people that were used to ruling us sometimes.
Sure, right, yeah.
Whatever. Okay, so carrying on
with this
chapter. Okay, now we have reached verse 2. Okay. Yeah. Thus says the Lord, behold, waters rise out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood. And of course, we know that that's
Babylon.
Well, yeah. Anytime they ever refer to the north, it's Babylon. And when they say it's an overflowing flood, it's always like their troops are coming in large numbers.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they shall overflow the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell within. Then the men shall cry and all the inhabitants of the land shall wail. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
So even though we're talking about Egypt here, we're still talking about Babylon conquering them.
Well, we're supposed to be talking about the Philistines. So,
which is the Philistines, is that the Egyptians or what are the Philistines exactly? I don't even really.
Yeah, it's have all a good sense very confusing. And I have some notes about that as well that I will get to in just a minute. Let me finish this verse here. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the men shall cry and all the inhabitants of the land shall wail at the noise of the stamping hooves of his strong horses, at the rushing of his chariots, at the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers will not even look back for their children, lacking courage.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, damn. Because of the day that comes to plunder all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every helper who remains, for the Lord shall plunder the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Kaphtor.
Got it.
Okay. So I'm not done, but let me just cut back to my notes for a minute.
Sure.
Okay, so he's talking about the afflicted cities, right?
Yeah.
And so he's saying to cut off from Tyre and Sidon. That was very likely meant that any available Phoenician help would be prevented from reaching Philistia.
Okay.
All
right.
So Tyre and Sidon were Phoenician cities, not Philistine, but they were probably in a desperate alliance with the Philistines against the force of Babylon.
Got it.
And all of these names are like so confusing to me. Like, all I heard was Mesopotamia. And that word Mesopotamia was not in the paragraph that I just read to you.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's all one deserty blur to me because I am ignorant.
Right.
Geographically
speaking. Well, can I interject here for just a second?
Sure.
So I did a quick search on the Googles here, and what I came up with is that they were people that settled in Canaan, mm-hmm. and that they were in the Gaza area. Like, there was a bunch of city states in that area,
mm-hmm.
and that they had a rivalry with the Israelites, which almost makes it sound to me like these are the people, like, you know how the Israelites destroyed all the Ammonites and all the Canaanites and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like maybe a remnant of
those guys, yes.
And that's why there's this rivalry.
That tracks, because I'm actually going to mention something about that in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. And it also says they were skilled seafaring people. So, like, you know how they always talk about the
sea people? Yeah, and Kaphtor was actually Crete. of Greece.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
That tracks.
Got it.
Okay?
Yep.
So, okay, continuing on with our chapter.
Sure.
Baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. Okay?
Okay.
So now let's go back to our notes for a minute.
Sure.
Okay? So the NIV explains it a little bit more clearly. And that's a different version than what we're reading, which we're reading the NIV, but this is New International Version, but that's what we're reading. So I don't understand what they're quoting here.
Okay.
Because we are reading the NIV.
Okay.
Right?
I think you're the one reading it, so.
We are. So I think that maybe this is a misquote of what translation, but this translation, whatever it is, says Gaza will shave her head in mourning rather than what ours says, baldness has come upon Gaza.
Okay. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. It would make more sense with the, because that, that indicates what they've said in the past as far as like grieving practices and things like that.
Exactly. So, yeah. I read from the NIV, so no.
That wasn't there.
You are incorrect, right. Whoever you are. So the Septuagint, the Greek version translation, describes the quote-unquote valley as the remainder of Anakim in place of the remnant of their valley.
Okay.
So, you know where it said, baldness has come upon Gaza, Ashkelon is cut off with the remnant of their valley.
Okay. Yeah.
What that means is the Anakim were the race of giants that were said to live in the southern part of the land of Canaan.
The ones that they came across when they were first trying to enter. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. The use of the term Anakim seeks to link the people of Gaza and Ashkelon with the race of giants that inhabited Canaan before the arrival of the Israelites. Huh. So exactly what you said.
A remnant of the people that they were trying to conquer, yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Huh. I see. Okay, so carrying on, unless did you have something else that you
could add? I was silent because I was just thinking that over in my head, and I'm like, that's like it's we've talked about it throughout, especially this book,
this stretch of this book,
because like there's so much that God says that is like final, and with such force that He's going to do these things, but He doesn't actually ever follow through, and like we've been talking about it in the context of Egypt. But we've kind of alluded back to some of the stuff that he said back when he was trying to destroy some of these other tribes. And here we are.
Even the giants.
Even in this book, that's still coming back up.
Yeah. Like,
that's amazing.
They might be giants and you still didn't kill them, right? Yeah. Okay, so carrying on. How long will you cut yourself? Oh, you sword of the Lord. How long until you are quiet? Put yourself up into your scabbard. Rest and be still. He's arguing with the sword.
Okay.
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 And then the response is, how can it be quiet, seeing the Lord has given it a charge against Ashkelon and against the seashore? There he has appointed it.
Okay.
The end.
So he's going to destroy them. He's arguing with the
fucking sword, yeah.
Right.
So the dialogue between the sword of the Lord and the prophet is a form of personification about which there are several legends.
Okay.
You know, the most famous, like, the sword, right, would be Excalibur, right?
Okay. Like, all right.
Not saying that that comes specifically from that, but there are always, like, Beowulf had his very special magical sword. Like
throughout cultures.
There's always this special magical sword.
Right, sure.
And so this alludes to that whole legendary magical sword's ability to talk with you.
Got it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there is no consensus as to when this speech was delivered.
Sure.
It may have occurred during the fourth year of Zedekiah, but others assign it to sometime even during the reign of Josiah.
I think I said this the last time for the last chapter, but these little asides about the different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sound like, I mean, they just sound so out of place.
Yeah.
Like, we could do without this.
We've never heard Jeremiah even once evoke this poetry and personification of inanimate objects. And like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
Is this Baruch trying to like, you know, make his book prettier and sell it?
This doesn't fit.
No.
You know, like it doesn't, it's not doing it for me.
No, it's very out of place, but it does belong together with the chapter that we just read.
Sure, sure.
Like all of these, you could tell they were a unit because they belong together, but they don't belong in this book.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I find that interesting.
Yeah.
So there we go.
And is that all we had today then?
That is all we had today then.
All right. Well, that was Jeremiah chapter 47.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that we will be back tomorrow with
Jeremiah chapter 48.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.